All right, here we go. Monty Larson's got some more owl pellets since we experienced those high winds the other week. Yeah, 60-mile-an-hour winds. Here's a little more hot air to blow around today about wind and wind energy. Nebraska, believe this or not, believe it or not, Nebraska is ranked number one nationally as the windiest state. Other top five states in the wind division, Kansas, South Dakota, North Dakota, and Iowa. However, according to the Guinness Book of World Records and National Geographic Atlas, have both listed Commonwealth Bay in Antarctica as the windiest place on the planet. Katabatic winds in Commonwealth Bay are recorded at over 150 miles an hour on a regular basis, and the average annual wind speed is 50 miles an hour. Wow, don't want to go there. Depending on their strength, winds can be known as a breeze, a gale, a storm, or a hurricane. And wind direction is given by the direction from which the wind comes. Weather vanes, of course, are used to indicate wind direction, and anemometers are used to measure wind speed. The energy that drives wind originates with the sun, which heats the earth unevenly, creating warm spots and cool spots. Two simple examples of this are sea breezes and land breezes. Sea breezes occur when inland areas heat up on a sunny afternoon. That warms the air, causing it to rise. Cooler air rushes in from the ocean to take its place, and presto, wind is born. Land breezes come at night when inland temperatures drop enough that the ocean is now warmer than the land, reversing the effect. The Coriolis effect, an offshoot of the Earth's rotation, makes moving air masses curve so that the winds converging on the equator come from the northeast and the northern hemisphere and the southeast and the southern hemisphere, and these winds are called the trade winds. Farther from the equator, the surface winds try to blow toward the poles, but the Coriolis effect bends them the opposite direction, creating westerlies. This is why so many weather events in the United States come from the west. Within the mid-latitudes, weather effects create high and low pressure zones called highs and lows. Sometimes you hear that on the weather forecast. Air moves from the areas of high pressure to low pressure. As it moves, however, it spirals due to the Coriolis effect, producing the shifting winds we experience from the day to day as highs and lows drift under the influence of the prevailing westerlies. Human civilizations have harnessed wind power for thousands of years. Early forms of windmills used wind to crush grain or pump water, and now modern wind turbines use the wind to create electricity. Today's wind turbines are much more complicated machines than the traditional prairie windmill. A wind turbine has as many as 8,000 different components. And of course, wind turbines are big. We know that. We see them here regularly. Wind turbine blades average over 190 feet long, and turbine towers average 295 feet tall, about the height of the Statue of Liberty. The United States wind power capacity was 105.591 megawatts at the end of 2019, making it the largest renewable energy source in the United States. That's enough electricity to offset the consumption of 29.5 million average American homes. Wind energy is affordable. Wind prices per power contracts signed in the last few years and levelized wind prices, that's the price the utility pays to buy power from a wind farm, are 2 to 4 cents per kilowatt hour. And wind energy provides more than 10% of total electricity generation in 14 states and more than 30% in Kansas, Iowa, and Oklahoma. And there you go, a little information on wind and wind energy. And our thought for the day. I don't know if I can say this guy's name or not. Mokokoma Mokhanona. That's the guy's name or woman's name. Who said, to most human beings, wind is an irritation. To most trees, wind is a song. And that's the Poser Report for Wednesday.